My name is Kathy Finley, and I'll say a little bit about myself and about how I got to be interested in this topic. But actually, I think before I do that, and then before I put you to work a bit on introducing yourselves and talking about how work plays a role in your lives, I'd like to start, as I will each session, with this litany of work. I'd ask, however, when we're finished, if you could return these copies, because these are the only copies I have, and I'd like to be able to use them for the five sessions this week. If you're not going to be here for other sessions this week, see me if you'd like to keep a copy, and we'll figure something out. But
yes.
We're going to start with this litany of work, so there are copies coming around. Try and make sure you get a copy of that, and we'll begin with that. This is available through Active Publications and also through Augsburg, I believe, where I got some of the materials that we'll be using on working. How many people still need a copy of the litany? Okay, are there some copies coming? There should be enough to go around. Perhaps you may need to share. There are about 35 of them there, so. If you don't have a copy,
I can't read it.
The response to everything is, "We praise you, God," so it's not that hard if you don't have a copy in your hand. Okay, anybody else need a copy? I'll be the leader today, but perhaps other days other people would like to be the leader. So let's take a moment to arrive, if you've been rushing to get here, as most of you perhaps have. Aware that we bring what we were just doing to this time together. We give thanks, O God, for the work of our lives. For the work of our hands. For the work of our minds. For the work of our hearts. For the enlightening work of teachers, librarians, students, and coaches. For the healing work of doctors, nurses, and counselors. For the creative work of artists, musicians, painters, and sculptors. For the precise work of engineers, scientists, and computer specialists. For the nurturing work of homemakers, parents, and guardians. For the wise work of retirees and grandparents. For the proclaiming work of writers, photographers, editors, and publishers. For the trustworthy work of accountants, bankers, lawyers, politicians, and salespeople. For the faith-filled work of ordained religious and lay ministers. For the protective work of police, firefighters, and military personnel. For the dedicated work of secretaries, receptionists, and bookkeepers. For the compassionate work of volunteers. For the judicious work of managers, administrators, directors, and supervisors. For the fruitful work of farmers, fishers, growers, and gardeners. For the steadfast work of those who manufacture products. For the constructive work of builders, surveyors, architects, masons, and carpenters. For the efficient work of those who transport people and things by bus, train, plane, taxi, truck, and boat. For the hospitable work of cooks, waiters, we should say waitry, and cashiers, hotel and motel workers. For the clarifying work of television, radio, and news media workers. For the dependable work of telephone and postal workers. For the good work of all other workers. For our work which sheds light on the darkness. For our work which creates order from chaos. For our work which builds peace out of hostility. For work which helps others. For work which serves others.
We praise you, God.
For our work which empowers others.
We praise you, God.
For our work which inspires others.
We praise you, God.
For our work which builds your kingdom.
We praise you, God.
Thank you. Could you please pass these in so again as we'll have them for another time? I have a couple of other images that I'll pass around as we begin our session. This is a nice illustration I found that shows a lot of different kinds of work and I think visual images have a big power. This is some workers leaving, I believe it's a shipyard, ask the question, which of these workers spent the last 8 hours building the kingdom of God? And just kind of awareness raisers as we go. I am not an expert in this area. I want to say that right up front. I've been doing some reading and some thinking about this, and I see my role as just kind of helping raise questions and for us to think about what we're about together. I did an in-service at Gonzaga University in Spokane, where I teach part-time on the spirituality of work because it was an interest of mine.
Can you speak up just a little bit?
Sure. Thank you for saying that. I did an in-service to just do some reflecting with the faculty and staff on the spirituality of work, and I enjoyed it and thought I'd do some more reflecting on it. But it's not something that I feel very expert about. What I'd like to ask us to do, I know we're a big crowd, so we're going to have to do it fairly briefly, but I really want to make use of the variety of experiences in the room. So I was going to have us kind of bounce back and forth, which is a really good way to build a community feel rather than going around or my calling on individuals. But I think in the interests of time and not knowing one another that we'll need to just kind of head around the circle. And if you'd rather pass, you're welcome to do that. But I ask you to just say your name quickly and how you usually identify yourself. Because I want us to listen to how what we may identify as work in the course of this session is related to that. And the best or worst job you ever had, again, quickly, and why. What's most important to you about work and how your Christian faith plays a role in that. I'll say a little bit about those questions quickly. When I identify myself, I often say that I teach part-time at Gonzaga, as I said. I also talk about myself as wife and mother of three sons. A lot of that, I think, is related to what I'll talk about later in the week of what I call the web of relationships that makes us who we are, which is very related to our work setting. But I teach about marriage and family life work, and I'm increasingly seeing myself, I'm in the midst of a change as far as how I see what work means to me, as you may be as well. I increasingly see myself as an educator and creative person in a way I've not claimed before. And for me, the best job I've ever had is just what I'm doing now, teaching and doing workshops, where I get a chance to share some thoughts and encourage that thinking and reflecting in other people, and especially asking people to reflect on their experience. For me, it's hard for me to separate that experience from the experience of prayer and of spirituality. I hope for you, you have some chance in your life to do something that you feel guilty about getting paid for, which is how I feel about this sort of thing when I do it, as I do fairly often. So what I guess we should do is kind of go around, for lack of a better word, the inner circle, and then kind of go from there. And whatever you'd like to comment on in these questions, feel free to do, because I'd like to see what kind of richness we have as far as how we see the world of work.
Oh, I'm calling Daniel. How do I, I probably identify myself as a volunteer coordinator at a hospice. What I always want to say is my degrees in human foods and nutrition, my broadest experience is in natural resources and farming, and here's what I'm doing now. best worst job. I think everything I've ever done had the best and the worst to it. And there were days I was muttering, "God, I can't wait till I'm out of this," with everything I've done, and days where I thought, "Jeez, this is the best." Although a week I taught, spent at teaching some kids at a natural resources youth camp was really high up there. What's important, what I really like about my work now is I do get to read a lot of stuff that's pertinent to my work that I feel guilty reading a little bit, because it's just, whoa, I get to read this, and I get to copy this off and put this in my file and use this and talk to people. And even being here qualifies. How my Christian faith plays a role. I would just say that what I'm doing now fits my value system very well.
My name is Roy Santry. When people ask me what I do, I say I am an assistant to the bishop in Southeastern Minnesota Synod of the ELCA. And my work is not my identity. I try to keep those things straight. And faith plays an essential role. Faith is first and last. And I like what I'm doing.
Sometimes working for the church, in my experience, can be a real test of one's faith to see the Spirit at work and some of the things that happen out of the atmosphere.
I'm Doug Brown. I'm from Portland, and like Roy, I don't identify myself necessarily first with my work, but my work is as a nurse practitioner. And like, is it Colleen?
Mm-hmm.
Colleen also, there have been good and bad parts of each of my jobs. I've always enjoyed the parts which have involved lots of teaching, both patients as well as students. I've also most enjoyed when I've gotten feedback or can see that my interventions have had a healing effect for people. The worst parts have been dealing with institutional factors, especially with more and more managed care kinds of issues in healthcare, and feeling forced to make decisions based on financial or insurance kinds of concerns rather than people's genuine needs. Faith is playing a more and more important role in my work. I'm finding myself praying for patients, praying for my own judgment, and praying that my own decisions are those in the best interest of the patients. I think I'll stop there.
My name is Dan Donner, and mostly I've been a musician, although like Roy and Doug, I don't think I'd want to identify myself with that role solely. My worst job has been working in a plastics molding factory while I was going to college, but it earned money for me, but it was a pretty dead job. The most important thing about work for me, I think, is that it'd be stimulating and energizing for me. And I think I found that mostly in work that involves music making, but also quite to the contrary, I also have some good organizational skills, and any work that can involve that skill of mine has been has kept me energized. And my Christian faith plays a role in that if I can be of service in whatever work I do is what I think is important to me.
Thank you.
My name is Doris Johnson. I'm a retired nurse. I'm a mother and a grandmother. And I do a lot of volunteer activity at my church in Tigard, Oregon. And so my Christian faith plays a role in that, helping people.
Mm-hmm. It certainly does.
My name is Nancy Hausler, and I too am a hospice worker doing bereavement, facilitating bereavement groups. And also I'm a volunteer trainer for hospice. However, as in hospice, the best thing is when you're able to offer, you know, services to people and they take them. The worst thing is that you offer them and they have the choice of declining those. And you have to accept that, you know, as their choice. However, as far as my faith, my ministry is just to be there for other people and to be a servant in whatever form that is, whether it's, you know, a wife to my husband or a grandma to my grandchildren, you know, just being there for them.
Okay, thank you.
My name's Chris Swenson. I'm a wife and a mother of two and a family physician, and often outside of a medical environment, I don't talk about being a doctor. My worst job was my first job in my dad's office, filing. And I don't know what to say, but I'm gonna hate it. I pretty much like what I do, and I guess I feel that the faith, both at work, in my employed work, as well as Sunday school or whatever, it's awareness of the relationships.
Can you hear already the richness within this group as far as the kinds of jobs and how people see what they're doing? It's exciting. Thank you.
I'm Doris Ray, and I'm a grandmother too, and I'm a retired piano teacher and more or less retired church organist. I do that once in a while, but I don't have to do it every Sunday. I think I do a lot of work in our church, and I think that's all real rewarding. And also right now I'm doing a lot of helping my daughter with her daughter, with our little granddaughter. And times when she can't be there. And I just think my faith plays a role in everything I do. I try to have it that way.
It'd be interesting for us later to take a look at, you know, what shift does the term or idea of work take as one retires in our society especially. Yeah, thank you.
My name is Mal Segrin. I guess that's a good segue. Nowadays, I usually introduce myself by saying that I retired 8 years ago, and now I'm going to retire again because it's so much fun. I'm a retired engineer and manager for AT&T Bell Labs, and then really just started a new career. I started teaching at our community college to teach electronics. And in terms of work world, the best jobs and the worst jobs were both the same. It was when I was at Bell Laboratories managing research, it was fun, exciting, but it has its downside when you have to tell people that their work is not satisfactory and in our interest and theirs, we need to part company. That was always difficult.
Yeah.
I'm an active lay person in our Lutheran church. I'm a lifelong Lutheran choir singer. And it's interesting, there's a number of hospice people here. My wife and I trained as direct service volunteers at hospice, and we stopped actively supporting patients a few years back, but I now am a bereavement volunteer. Mm-hmm. And as Doris says, my Christian faith plays some role in every one of those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Peggy Stromseth, child of God, wife, mother, grandmother, retired kindergarten teacher. I'm active in our church, a Stephen minister, mm-hmm. and a creative person that just likes to be doing things all the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Lynn Stromseth Kamola, daughter of Betty. How I identify myself is up for grabs right now. I'm really in a point of re-identifying who I am, what I'm about. I spent several years home raising children and am finally 2 years into teaching career, you know, got the retirement thing started and all that. It was where I started back 20 years ago, and my worst job was the last job that fit the year that finished up last Friday. It was hell. There was no joy in it, and it just completely shocked me. Halfway through the year, I realized I had no feeling for those children. And I thought, what the hell is happening here? So that's part of my journey right now.
And it takes a while, in my experience, to heal from that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. That can do things inside of you that I was amazed to watch happen. Yeah. So, thanks for sharing that.
Bernice Maitre, Astoria, retired, house mother. I was, I've had different jobs, working in bank and at OSU, house mom, the Chamber of Commerce information booth.
What was best or worst there?
What's my worst?
Or best?
Best was at OSU.
And how does your faith play a role?
A part of living.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
This is my fifth time up here.
Great. Okay.
Been 18 years since I've been here.
Wow, that's a long time.
Lots of changes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good.
Great study.
Yeah.
Good to have you here. Fun.
I'm Carol Dahl, and this is a great year of change for me too. My husband died in February, so I'm kind of finding new roles and relationships and plans for the future, and it's just all seems very up in the air to me right now.
Sure.
My children are grown, but I'm still a mother and loving them very much. I'm a teacher, kindergarten, and first second kindergarten as well, music. And I was going to retire in a few years, but now I'm not sure if I will or not. So, mm-hmm. But I love doing that. My worst job was working at a strawberry factory. I didn't like them for years after that. The best is teaching. I love it.
Mm-hmm. My name is Nancy Wenke. I work as a parent educator for the cooperative preschool program through the community colleges in Washington. And the best part of the job is I get to work with teachers, preschool teachers, parents, and young children. Multifaceted job. The worst was, I think, washing dishes right out of during college. And my faith plays a role in everything that I do in relating to all this.
Thanks.
I'm Carla Bergadahl, and when I can avoid it, I do, but I suppose I identify myself in part as being a physical priest. But I tend to avoid doing that in certain settings because it tends to shut people down right away.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, or they think they have to say a certain thing to you.
Sure.
Mother of two kids, single mom, that's for the peace, for sure. And these days, too, just because it's beginning to be a bigger piece of my bigger sense of work, is that I'm an animal person. I do a lot of work with animals, and that's becoming a piece of the work. So I think the biggest thing that's changed over the years is that, particularly going into ordained ministry as an Episcopalian woman in the 70s, as I look back, I realize that became my whole sense of identity, because she had to be completely focused in those days because it was so hard. And it's nice that 20 years later I can say that the priesthood part is a piece of me, but not all of me anymore. And best and worst jobs. The worst, I've got to say two worst jobs. One was shining shoes in New York.
Oh,
New York City. And the second worst one was working as a secretary when I don't know why, but I had to take the same letter over and over for a whole summer.
Oh, here.
I don't know. I can't believe they made me do that. But I really lost my marbles about 6 weeks through it. I just couldn't do it.
Somebody's version of hell.
I don't know. It was just, I just was like, Even now it makes me shudder. My best job is really what I'm doing right now. In the last couple of years, I worked part-time in a parish and part-time for an organization called Earth Ministry that I started. And even though there's real trade-offs to doing two jobs, both of them are such essential parts of who I am that if I can manage my time right, it's just right. And I don't think I've ever been happier in my work than the last 5 years, and the last two in particular. How Christian faith plays a role, just three metaphors come to my mind: my center, my foundation, and my heart.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Something like that.
Yes. Thank you. I appreciate especially what you said, because I was struck the three guys in a row said, you know, my work is not all of who I am. And I think men may have come to terms with that a bit more than women are still at times, you know.
Well, I think particularly those of us who went into predominantly male professions, such as physicians, and 20 years ago or 25 years ago, you really couldn't have any other piece of life because everything had to be focused on you. Not easy, but couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So I noticed a real difference between seminarians, women who are seminarians now, and women who were seminarians 25 years ago. There's a huge difference.
They don't
tend to see themselves in just that very small way.
Right. Thank you.
I'm Malcolm McCallum. I'm a pharmacist. I currently work as a sales representative for a pharmaceutical company. And also have a daughter who's a seminarian. The worst job I had was picking strawberries before they got to the factory. A little farther down the food chain. I guess the best job I've had was talking and promoting a critical care product that was used in critical care units and helping physicians and nurses use this product as a life-saving type of product. I've called it a medical school for a long period of time, and I've enjoyed that interaction with residents and physicians in training. And how my faith plays a role with that, I see sort of in an indirect way our products to help patients. Mm-hmm. Save a few lives along the way. Mm-hmm.
We may not have time, I'm realizing, with the size of our group to head through the whole group, but I would not want to stop anyone who would really like to share about these questions. So maybe there are a few more people who would like to answer those questions, and maybe others would rather not. So would you raise your hand if you'd like to respond to those questions? I don't want to put people on the spot unnecessarily, but I think sometimes the richness of what's here would be really helpful. Go ahead.
Well, just to say that I think another group of people that have a hard time with identifying themselves is if you have not had a strong career, and so then you really have to search for where that identity is. You can't immediately say, you know, this is what I do or have done.
I don't know
if this is violence.
Yes, I don't know if this is related to that, but I teach mostly on Christian marriage at Gonzaga, and I continually correct my students when they talk about their mother, you know, always worked or whatever, and I say, you mean she worked outside the home? Because I, having been home really full time, rather little of the time when our children were growing up, most of the time I was working at least part time. But when I was home full-time with small children, I felt like I never worked harder, and it was the hardest thing probably that I ever did. So I don't know if that's what you're referring to in terms of specific career and so on, but I think that's a very important point to note here, is that often we tend to associate work with something that's paid so on, which kind of leads into what I want to do next. But yes, go ahead.
That's kind of what I was thinking of here, was that I took an 18-year maternity leave to raise my children.
And right.
When you asked what's the most important job, it was raising my children. It was my favorite job, too. I love what I'm doing for money now, which is I'm a music teacher.
Yes.
And I love that. And I loved it before I had kids. But I really think that was the most important thing
Definitely.
That I did.
Yes.
And my favorite job.
Yeah. Other comments before we move on? Really, I don't want to close down anybody else who'd like to comment.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your sharing. What I'd like to do today, just so you have an idea of where we're headed with this, is talk some about what do we mean by work, specifically what we just dipped into, and related terms, and what do we mean by spirituality, and where is, if there is an overlap, as I believe there is, between the two. And then talk a bit, though we seem to have a good integration in this group, of the connection between the two. Help me not forget before the time is over to talk about some of the books and resources that I've brought and that are available in the bookstore. I also want to give you a bit of an idea of what we'll be doing the other four sessions during this week. As far as I know, with what I was looking at, this whole idea of the term of spirituality of work may have been there, but not as a specific term, as far as I know, prior to Pope John Paul II, the current pope, talking about it in an encyclical on human work. Now, somebody may have better information than that, but that's what I kind of came across, especially in this book, speaking of the resources of Human Hands, which is a reader on the spirituality of work. It's co-published by ACTA and by Augsburg Press and has a nice variety of essays on various kinds of work in here, and I'll be referring to this at various times. That's available, as well as when I do this before I forget. Studs Terkel's fairly well-known book on working, where he interviews a lot of different folks on what their experience of work is in the bookstore, as well as there's one copy of this resource book on working. I noticed there's an earlier kind of sample of this in the resource center here on this floor. It has just a lot of outstanding resources, and you're welcome to take a look at this one. I don't know if the one in the books, I don't think the one in the bookstore is sealed, but this would be a great resource, say, for a local church if you wanted to do more work on the spirituality of work. So, what do we mean by work and spirituality? Maybe we'll work backwards and talk about spirituality first. What words do you associate with the word spirituality when I say that term?
A prayer life.
Okay, prayer.
Worship.
Worship.
Discipline.
God. Discipline, okay.
Communion.
Good. Undergirding. Pardon?
Undergirding.
I like that. What I think it's important for us to do is to see our spirituality as not just a part of our spirit and leaving out the body, and I'll come back to that a little bit later, but that spirituality is part of all that we are about. I like to think about our spirituality as the way I live in light of God's presence in my life, my understanding of who God is. And this is a very probably unscientific and pretty general notion. And I almost would equate the rather 70s, I suppose, or since then, notion of lifestyle with spirituality, because it seems to me that a lot of what we talk about in terms of spirituality shows up in our lifestyle. One of the things that I mention when I talk to groups or when I talk to my students about this sort of thing is, if I, okay, you're up here at Holden, if I house sat at your place while you were here at Holden, I think that in house sitting in your living environment, I would understand a lot about what's really important to you. Not what you say is important, but what's really important to you by looking around. Not just whether you cleaned up before you left town, that's not what I mean. But you know, do I see a lot of things? Do I see a lot of people? Like, we have this one bulletin board in our kitchen that's just overflowing with pictures. I mean, I really should clean it up sometime, but there's just all these people who've been part of our lives kind of hanging off in various states of disarray off this bulletin board, because they're all important and we want to remember them. But various kinds of ways in your lives, I think, what's really important shows up in how you live. So it's how I live my life in light of what I believe about what life's all about, what God is all about. And it's such an inclusive definition that I have a brother, I'm the oldest of five, my next oldest brother is a very interesting sort. He would, I'm sure, not claim any religious faith. He has been quite successful at business. He's a year younger than I and has retired for several years, lives on a yacht in Elliott Bay, and doesn't have much to do at all with our family, but he's figured out what life's all about, and how he lives is, in the broadest sense of the word, still a spirituality. It's not very similar to my own, but it's what works for him, we might say. So how that lived experience of God or the divine is at work in your life, I would name as spirituality. So is it related to faith? Yes. But I see it as different as well, because faith for me is what I believe, what I say and affirm as important. Spirituality is where the rubber hits the road, how I really live that out. So it does have to do with my spirit, but it does have to do with my body as well. It has to do with a lot of process, a lot of, well, things are in transition right now. I'm shifting, and I don't know what's going to happen from here. And there's a strong movement, too. I'd like to differentiate, which is, I think, happening fairly commonly these days, between spirituality and religion. Not that they're unrelated, but to distinguish for a minute and then kind of put them back together. I find that increasingly the literature will talk about spirituality as this lived experience of how I understand what I believe. What does religion have to do with that? Religion is a set of practices and understandings that have come about as a community has tried to express together this spirituality. So out of the spirituality, it seems to me, comes rituals, liturgy, help me out here, what other kinds of things do we end up, customs, institutions of various kinds, to express as a community our shared spirituality. Then it seems to me what can become a crunch at times, my tradition is Catholic, by the way, and I've really tried to be careful through these sessions to, I'll bring in some of my Catholic heritage, but I'll also bring in a fair amount of quotes from Luther and so on, and as a help from some of the resources, because I think there's a lot to be gained from looking at the various traditions. The reason I mention my own Catholic heritage, I'll bring in another one of my family for a minute here. The next youngest in the family, my sister, with whom I'm very close, she and I share a lot about spirituality. But my sister will talk about herself as a recovering Catholic, and she's not kidding. I mean, there's a lot of anger and a lot of bitterness in her about her Catholic upbringing, which I don't share. But for her, religion at this point in her life is not helpful as a support and a nurturing toward her spirituality. It feels like there's a split between the two, and I increasingly find that sometimes among the students I work with, but also with other folks. And at its best, certainly our religious tradition, whether it be Lutheran, Catholic, Jewish, Islamic, whatever, is a help and a support to our spirituality. But I think they're related, but not the same. Is that helpful? Anything anyone would want to add in terms of this notion of spirituality? There's a whole lot more to it than this kind of thing.
I think I've just noticed over the years, particularly with my generation, that a common thing I hear is,
I'm a very spiritual person, but I can't stand religion, or it's the institution I can't stand. Mm-hmm. I think that's just an observation on the last 20 or 30 years.
Right.
And I live in the Pacific Northwest, and you know, the majority of people are unchurched, supposedly the most unchurched part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So you're really pretty countercultural just to go to church. But over and over again, what I hear, particularly in the, say, 50 and under set, mm-hmm. is I just can't deal with the institution, but I'm very spiritual. And so I think that's a challenge to all of us.
It really is.
That are in the churches to understand what that is and what's happening here.
Yes.
What's been happening for the last few decades, that's what we hear.
Right. And the more we can show a deep spirituality that's at the heart of, you know, our religious practices, the better. I'm trying to think, as you were talking the other day, somebody was asking me, because I identified myself as Catholic, and they wanted to put me, I was experiencing wanting to put me in a slot. Was I charismatic? No, I wasn't charismatic. What was I? You know, they wanted to know why I was so, I think, into my faith and spirituality, and you know, I couldn't just be a Catholic, I must be something in addition. I don't know, it was a funny experience, but I think that's true, that a lot of, you know, the images that are out there of organized religion are, you know, kind of going through the motions, the kind of thing I see a lot more than this in my father, but he will say to this day that the reason he goes to church is because he promised his mother on her deathbed that he would go to church on Sunday. Well, that's a very important thing for him. It wouldn't be enough of a reason for me at this point in my life. Okay, enough about my family. So, what do we mean by the term work then? And what are some terms related to that?
Well, besides work, we've got, help me here, job, mm-hmm. profession.
Occupation.
Career.
Skills. Play.
Employment,
okay. I heard before it paid the bills, and that was all I needed to do at that point. With a play, we could also maybe put in here creativity. I heard that as an important theme earlier.
This isn't quite the same, but wage earner that connects you with the money part.
Mm-hmm. Responsibility.
Something that needs to be done.
Yep. So even task.
Huh? Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Part of being creative.
Pardon?
Part of being creative. The capacity forward.
Mm-hmm. And it's an expression. It isn't all that I am, but it is an expression of who I am. Robert Bella talks about several meanings of the word work in Habits of the Heart. In the sense of a job, he says work is a way of making money and earning a living. In the sense of a career, work traces one's progress through life by achievement and advancement in an occupation. In the strong sense of calling, which we don't have up here yet, calling is another vocation related. And another we'll talk about in a minute is service. Lots of clusters of words around that idea. In the strongest sense of a calling, work constitutes a practical ideal of activity and character that makes a person's work morally inseparable from his or her life. It subsumes the self into a community of disciplined practice, you're talking about discipline earlier, and sound judgment whose activity has meaning and value in itself, whether it's hospice work or whatever. The calling not only links a person to his or her fellow workers, but is also an effort to make real the reign of God in the realm of work, that we all need each other, that we all depend on each other, and that our real reward is our sense of contribution to the common good.
And then there's service, as I mentioned. Maybe you've heard the comment that was mentioned to Mother Teresa of Calcutta. I wouldn't do what you do for $1 million. She said, neither would I, if I were ever to serve these people. I do this to serve these people and to serve God. Meaningful work. Truly meaningful work encompasses three ideas. Economic security, we said that before, and some individual fulfillment. Another part of that is when my gifts are matched with a community's needs. And finally, related to the calling or vocation, a response to some call or invitation from a higher power. This is what I feel called to do, whether it's ordination or whatever. Work is an opportunity for us to make a difference, to influence the world, and to improve individual lives, as well as an opportunity to earn a living. Reading so many little things, I've got notes to myself all over because I think there's some helpful things to talk about when it comes to work. Let's see. In Of Human Hands, Pope Paul II, John Paul II, that I mentioned in Of Human Work, he doesn't just mean paid employment. He says all of our productive daily activities, job, family relationships, and community involvement that help bring about the kingdom of God are all part of work. The editor here says, to me, work is simply all human activity that sustains and improves the world. And he says, when spirituality is then linked to that, he says it's the way we orient ourselves to the divine. So he's pretty close to what I was saying. He said, before, spirituality to me always connected getting away from the world. But a spirituality of work necessitates orienting myself toward the divine through my daily activity of improving and sustaining the world. He says, this is a real radical change. No longer can I excuse the fact that I am too busy for spiritual things. I've got to somehow, my spirituality says, now lies right in front of me in the work I do most of my waking hours. As my friend and colleague Bill Droll puts it, God lurks everywhere and everything is grace. So how do we link these two? Let me just make a comment, an observation before we take a look at that, and maybe you have some thoughts at this point as well. I was thinking about how this topic links with the theme this summer at Holden of No Longer Strangers. And it's something that I hope we'll come back to, but it seems to me that there is a temptation at times, and I don't know if this fits your experience or not, to say, well, I'm a pharmacist, and nobody else understands what us pharmacists and us, you know, as your salesman for pharmaceutical, sales rep for a pharmaceutical company. Nobody else really understands my field but me. So the rest of you in that sense are kind of strangers. You don't know what it's like to try and do this kind of work I'm a truck driver and the rest of you look down on us truck drivers, but you don't understand how important we are to the way the world works or whatever it is. I think there's a way that we can subtly decide there's us and then there's them, you know, and so that this world of work can be a way for us to really take a look at. As we will, actually, I think it's third Wednesday, what are the similarities between all kinds of work and how are the differences really as big as they can be? Comments on anything I've said so far that you'd like to make observation on? Okay.
Is there work that's not honorable? Some work that is not spiritual in any way?
Interesting question.
Like fighting a war.
Pardon? Like fighting a war?
Yeah, being a soldier. I mean, it's kind of about that.
I would guess there are people here who've been in the military who could speak
somebody
to that.
Has to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that if you're doing something that someone else needs you for, then it's honorable.
Let me play devil's advocate for a second. Say I was a prostitute. Is that something that, I mean, is, besides the world's oldest profession?
Or a tobacco seller?
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
An attendant at a gaming table in Las Vegas?
What if I were not just involved in the military, but say I was in a, we've had friends who were involved in a factory making nuclear warheads, for example. Not directly, but pretty related. Interesting question.
Maybe you have to follow your conscience.
Well, and the conversation that ensued with us, we lived in Bremerton at the time, and the friend was involved with Lockheed's work on with the Trident missile base there. He said, you know, it's easy when you're not making your living that way to ask those questions, but he said it's harder when it's the bread and butter on your own table to really confront those questions. And I thought his point was very well taken. This was when Archbishop Hunthausen in Seattle was raising a lot of questions about the Triton base. These are not easy questions, and let me tease you for a sec with the fact that tomorrow I want to, even more than we've done today with a diagram that I'm going to give people, really look at, okay, specifically, what does work look like and the various kinds of ways that I work in my life, and talk about some of the questions that are related to that. On Wednesday, we're going to look at attitudes toward work in scripture and history and spirituality and work. On Thursday, what we're going to do is take a look at a lot of the rough edges to this issue. What are the temptations? What are the experiences of evil that are related to the issues in work? And then on Friday, trying to say, so what? Where do we go from here? And what are some ways that I might be more explicit about how my spirituality carries through into what I do in the rest of my life other than Sundays?
Just in response to the question about is there a choice of right work, just from a cross-cultural perspective in the Buddhist tradition, you may have heard of the Eightfold Path towards achieving enlightenment, and the sixth step, I believe it's the sixth step of the Eightfold Path, is right work. So from a Buddhist point of view, it is possible to choose work which isn't right, that is work which is not, which cannot further your spiritual advancement.
And at times we may know people who are, you know, at least from an outside perspective, in the wrong work, and it can be a problem for them as well as for perhaps coworkers and so on. Yeah, good. Yes.
As you were putting those things on the board, I got to thinking of a different model in a way. From a physics perspective, work is the energy that you expend, and we expend energy in different ways. Each of us do. We're given a certain amount. It's how we spend our life, and so our pattern of stewardship of the energy that we have is sort of our spirituality, or the pattern that you're talking about. You see, when you go into someone's house, ours is filled with pictures and books. That's how we expend our energy. That's our economy, but it is how you spend all of your life, how you spend all the energy you've been given.
Right, and then to connect that with what Doug was saying just a minute ago, if you have that energy and you're not using it fully, or not in the ways that you're really called to in terms of building the kingdom, then there's something lacking. Teilhard de Chardin would say, you know, you're not you're not doing your part to build up the newest, or the increasing coming together of the whole intellectual cosmos, really.
And at times in your life, you just left it, you're called to expend most of it in one area, and other times in your life, where I am right now, I have great freedom to choose, and it's...
Mm-hmm. And that would be a whole other set of workshops on transition, but the shift of gears from the one to the other is always a point place of high stress, but the energy in the long run can be a really positive thing when you shift from one to another.
And energy, when it's used well, is producing more energy. It's not getting lost.
Right.
And I think one of the worst part of the experience for me this year is just being completely drained.
Yes, yes.
Just completely, totally sucked dry.
Right. One of the things I was reading was talking about, and I believe it's true in terms of our spirituality, question of balance. Do we allow our work to be important but not too important? Because if it's too important and takes over too much, we head to the issue of burnout, really. If it's not important enough that it's not really calling forth all that's in us, that's not a good use of our energies either. So how do we balance that? Which is something we can come back to when we talk about the temptations and evil and all. It seems to me that there are some. As much as we've talked about how these two are connected, there are some ways in which these two realms can be split at times. And I'd like to use a story quickly out of, I believe it's out of here, yes, it starts this off. A clergy friend of mine recently told the story of asking a member of his congregation who was a CEO in a major corporation to be a member of a small committee to help prepare the sermon. The committee was to meet each Wednesday evening. When he arose Wednesday morning before the first session, the CEO realized he hadn't read the Bible text for the following Sunday. So on his way out the door, he grabbed his Bible. During a slow period in his morning office routine, the CEO opened the Bible and began reading the Sunday text. He was interrupted by one of his vice presidents delivering a report. They exchanged brief greetings and the aide left. Later, the CEO's secretary told him that when the vice president came out of the office, he had an astonished look on his face. "My God," he shouted, "what's happened to Frank? He's in there reading the Bible." You know, I think there's something about that we don't, we don't usually see the two as that related. It wasn't when we were driving out here. It was the last time I had to drive across the state not long ago. I stopped at a rest area and watched a guy who was obviously driving a truck, zipping up his well-worn leather Bible case, and he was getting back in his truck. And I thought, isn't that neat when he stopped at the rest stop? He took some time for scripture reading. And I think that's the exception rather than the rule. The connection between these two is often not there. Any observations on why that might be the case, or is that true in your experience? That lack of connection?
Spirituality takes time.
Mm-hmm.
It takes tending.
Okay.
Philosophically, we've divided the world for the last 300 years.
Yeah.
I think that's key, at least the last 300 years, yes. We have this dualism that's been our heritage. It's really pre-Christian, has its roots in Greek thinking and Neoplatonists. A dualism between body and spirit, body and soul. With the Greek thinkers telling us that this is the higher realm, the higher part of ourselves. And it seems to me one way that this takes shape in our conversation here may be between work at times and contemplation. As you just said, it takes time. And this has been, in some ways, it seems to me deepened, and this is what Studs Terkel talks a lot about,
by this century's alienation in work, and we'll talk more about that later on, that has meant, let me see if I, oh, that's another definition of work that we're talking about, has meant at times a split between the two realms. To separate Sunday from Monday, to distinguish between the secular world and the sacred world, to divide one's life into spiritual and material compartments is to promote a dualism neither biblical nor Christian. We know that our Jesus was made incarnate, made enfleshed, and that everything about our lives is holy, but it has not always been our experience, as much as it's not biblical and not Christian. And the editor here says Christians also need to consider their connect their Sunday faith to their weekday lives for their wholeness and sense of well-being, for their own spirituality. Jesus warned, "We cannot serve two masters. We can hate the one. We will hate the one and love the other. If we serve God only on Sundays and do not sense God's presence in our weekly lives, weekday lives, we have set up for ourselves a destructive dualism." So it seems to me that what we are called to look at is how to overcome the dualism in our lives. Let me read just one more thing to you. I know we're about out of time here. There was a conversation, again I'm bringing in this time a Catholic source, Father Robert Drynan, who's a Jesuit who was a congressman for a while, and I would think would know better, he said, "The spirit will generally act only where there is repose, receptivity, and silence." The eighth sacrament he was talking about. But a response to his comment in the National Catholic Reporter was this: "A monk may agree with Father Drynan. A busy mother, artist, teacher, homemaker cannot. She has to seek spirituality amid the hubbub or give up the search. I have had the Holy Spirit literally take over the words I spoke to my babies, the brushstrokes at my canvas, the ideas I was presenting to my class, and the organizing of my class, and the organizing of my household routines. I didn't have the time to, quote, be still and listen. I have often yearned for passively folded hands and blessed silences, but whenever those rare moments sat me down to listen to the music of the spheres, I often as not fell asleep, perchance to dream of his holy presence in my busy life." We don't have that luxury a lot of the time. We need to hear and see God as God is present in our daily lives. So that's the challenge that we want to explore more. We need to end for today, but I thank you very much for your sharing, and perhaps we can continue the conversation tomorrow. Thank you.